lives in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way.
Him in your prayers today. There are several that need to make announcements this morning, and if you are one of them, now is your time.
All right. I beat you. All right. Youth before go ahead.
Yes, sir.
All right. In your bulletin is our report of the treasurer for missions. I want you to please note particularly the last 2 months. We've totaled about $3,000 short of our monthly giving. That's the 2 months combined. We still had enough in our balance to be able to meet every missionary support yet to whom we're committed. We just want you to prayerfully think about that. And if you missed the last several months, perhaps the Lord will enable you to catch up and make that commitment be fulfilled during this month. Remember, it must be given by the last Sunday of the month to be registered for this month. We don't want to have to come where we have to tell our missionaries, sorry, but we have to cut your support. So you talk about it with the Lord, and maybe you've not been involved in giving. We encourage you to give to our worldwide ministry of evangelism through our missionaries. Thank you for that prayer for consideration.
All right. Good morning. I have, just going with what was on the screen, number one, if we sing November the 15th, our youth, and we're working on a song, and if you sang with us last time or want to join us this time, we're going to be... Of course, we have classes on Wednesday and Sunday nights, but we always practice a little bit. And our practice is we just sing the songs over and over and over. So it's a good time. We had like 40 or 50 up here last time. So I'd like to see y'all out Sunday tonight at 6 and Wednesday night at 7 to practice for that. Also, the Billy Graham Library and Operation Christmas Child, the age is not my requirement. That's what their requirement is. And I have 20 spots available. So if you would like to go, and you're like, man, I think I'm wanting to go, go ahead and sign up. I can always scratch your name off and let someone else go, but if someone might get that spot earlier before you if you don't sign up. Also, East Clarendon's volleyball team, we have two young ladies that play on it, Michaela and Brittany Anderson. They'll be playing for the lower state championship game, which that means if they win this game, they play for the state championship, Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. in Branchville, South Carolina. And if you can't go, tell them, just pat them on the back tonight, this afternoon, and tell them you're praying for them, and be praying for their safety as they travel, and that they glorify God in whatever they do and say Tuesday night. So that's our volleyball team. They're playing for the lower state championship. They've done a great job this year. So two ladies back there, tell them congratulations and keep winning. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody, for your support of the yard sale we had a couple of weeks ago. One of the things that was really a blessing was it seemed like there were a lot of people who had needs due to the floods, and a lot of household items and furniture and bedding and that type of thing was really what went really quickly. We will be holding another yard sale on this Saturday. This time the Honduran team will be hosting this one, so if you have anything that you'd like to donate, please contact one of us or me, or we can try to pick it up for you, and we appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe, but it's already time to be planning for our Christmas cookie exchange. It is going to be Thursday, December 3rd, which is really not that far away, about 3 weeks. It's going to be 6 o'clock that Thursday evening back here in the Fellowship Hall. All the ladies are invited, all ages, babies, own up. I will have a nursery provided. If you don't feel comfortable driving at night or have issues getting out, please let me know. I will arrange for you to have transportation. I don't want anyone to be left out of this evening because of that. So please come to me, let me know. I'll take care of that. You do not have to bring cookies to attend. If you just want to show up, that is fine. You please don't feel like you have to bring anything, but if you do want to bring something, any cookies, anything is welcome. I'm really excited this year because we are blessed to have a special speaker, someone that I've admired her my entire life. She has an amazing testimony. I cannot wait to hear what the Lord has laid on her heart, and I just feel so blessed that we were able to get her this year. It is our own Carol Lane. So if you want to come for a blessing, I promise you will not leave without the Lord touching your heart. So please come and hear Aunt Carol speak. It is Thursday, December the 3rd at 6 o'clock. There is no sign up. Don't feel like you have to let me know if you're coming. We just want to have a good crowd turnout. Like I said, there will be nursery available as well. I was also asked to announce about the dishes in the fellowship hall. They are laid out on the two tables on this side. Please come and pick them up. I was told if not, they will be considered a donation for the yard sale on Saturday. So you might want to be picking those up today and this week before Saturday if you want your dishes back. So thank you.
Thanksgiving Day, the Lord's put on my heart to have Thanksgiving Day here for the need. Anyone that needs a meal, free meal, I need help. I need to get the word out. I just need a lot of help. I mean, I'm not good at planning things. I can cook. I'm not a skinny cook, so you can trust me. But anyway, anybody can help in any way. I'm going to want to have a meeting today at 5:15. Some ideas. Time's running out, and I'm kind of like Noah. I'm not like Noah. Jonah got swallowed by the whale. I don't want to get swallowed by the whale. Thank you.
There's a very special lady in the audience who happens to be my mama. She has a birthday today. She's 79 years old. She said I could tell that, and she has done a wonderful job of serving the church for so many years. So I would like to sing Happy Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Miss Gladys. Happy birthday to you.
Two weeks?
Yeah. Amen.
2 weeks, is that right? All right. In 2 weeks, these are collected and go out. And if you don't understand what this is, see Miss Sarah Green or Miss Shannon Webster, and they will fill you in on what to do with this. But that's, you know, if you want to share the love of Christ at Christmas time, you can't. So anyway, I think we've. Is there anybody else? You sure? All right. Well then, let's. Let's turn our attentions just a little bit. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. And Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. Lord, it's got to be a good thing to be a part of your people and a part of your pasture. We know how much that you love us because of your willingness to take care of our sin problem, and Lord, we don't fathom enough exactly what it cost you, but we praise you that you were willing to pay that cost, that we might be able to gather on days like this to worship you, because you truly are the Lord our God. And you not only have saved us, but now you have set us aside, and you have sent us out that we might, Lord, go out into your world and proclaim your message. Lord, we need worship because we need to be in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
And truly we can say, as a family of God, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. Our call to worship, Here I Am to Worship, followed by hymn number 66, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. Stand with me as we join together in singing our call to worship, Here I Am to Worship.
Here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God.
glory, great things he has done. Lift our voices in celebration together. While you're standing, greet those around you, wishing God's blessing this morning.
Remember, read it before you toss it. There's a bunch of prayer requests in there that truly need to be called out before the Lord. So let's pray. Lord, again, we know that it is so important that we pause, even during our time of worship, to pray. For Lord, you said that if we had petitions or requests, that we should make them known to you. And Lord, it's not for your sake, but for our sake that we voice these concerns today, believing and knowing that, Lord, you already know what we need even before we ask it, that you're going to provide the things, Lord, that are truly important in life. But we come. We come believing in you. We come believing in prayer. We believe that as we think about and call out and certain people and their needs before you, we believe that Lord, you're active in their lives in special ways, that you bestow grace upon grace. And Lord, that if it's a healing touch that needs to be had, we believe you'll give it. If it's an emotional healing that needs to take place, we believe that you'll take care of that. For God, we just believe in you. And Lord, we want more than anything else for this time that we have together to draw us closer to you and closer to each other. We just believe so much in your goodness. And we believe that if we'll get close enough to you, you'll begin to rub off a little more on us. So help us to do that today. Thank you so much for Calvary, for what it means, for the forgiveness that is ours, and for the life that comes through you. Lord, may we appreciate it more than we ever have before. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Skip, would you have our prayer, please?
Dear Father, we're so thankful for all your many blessings, and as we give back a portion that you've given to us, we just ask that you would use it to your glory and to the winning of lost souls into your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Tiffany, for that offertory. We appreciate your sharing this morning. Before Pastor comes and shares the message of the morning, we're joining together in hymn number 514, In My Heart There Rings a Melody. And just before also he comes to share, Heather Knowlton will be sharing a special selection this morning. Heather will be doing that this morning. While we're singing number 514, again, we'll dismiss our children and children's church workers for their place of worship for the remaining service time. Joining together, 514, let us stand together, singing with the melody of Christ in your heart today. I have a song that Jesus gave. Together singing. You may be seated. Heather, come and share your testimony and song at this time.
Good God picked up a sparrow that could no longer fly. He brushed off its wounds and then watched it soar into the sky. If he's mindful of creation, on this I can depend. I am his child, and I can place all my trust in him. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my needs. He is my strong. Felt they never were heard, but I've held to God's hand and kept right on trusting in his word. My wants and God's desires don't always. His will, for he always knows what's best for me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has.
Titus chapter 2 is where we will be reading our text from this morning, Titus chapter 2. Titus is just a short note from the Apostle Paul that he wrote to, well, Titus, obviously. And he left Titus on an island in the Mediterranean, the island of Crete. And he left him there with a couple of tasks that he needed to complete. One, he needed to identify and train some leaders for the church. It was paramount, and that's where Paul starts in this little note to Titus. He said, you know, don't forget, you need to be getting these leaders in place. And then he also switched gears and said, also, you need to be teaching the Christians there on the island what it truly means to be, how they're supposed to live their lives. And we live differently once we come to Christ. And that's really what Paul was trying to get Titus to understand. And I believe the reason that we live differently, well, I believe we're going to read the reason in our text this morning. So please stand as we read from the Word this morning. Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. You may be seated. Several years ago, a particular automaker was introducing a new model line that they were going to have out there, and so they put together a series of ads they ran on television, and the punchline of the ad simply read, a man in a nice-looking suit would stand up and said, looks into the camera, you know, all stoic, said, this changes everything. That's a pretty bold proclamation, right, for a car. But the truth is today, we know the one who really does change everything. We can make that claim. We know the one who has changed everything because we know Jesus. And we know that even for those people that don't believe on who he is or what he done for them, we still know Jesus changed everything. He has redeemed us. He paid the price for our sin once and for all and forever. And we're not just forgiven. I mean, we read it, right? He to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself. He purifies us. I mean, he washes away all of the dirty residue of our sin. And Jesus not only gets the dirt off, but he gets the stain out too. He's better than Tide Ultra. When Jesus purifies us, we're clean. So we're forgiven and we're purified, but there's even more. See, it's not that we're just let off the hook for our sin, you know, the forgiven part. But by the presence of Christ, by his Spirit living within us, we have everything that we need, the strength, the power, the ability, so that we can not only resist sin, but we can begin to overcome the sin in our lives. And that's why Jesus truly is that blessed hope, you know, and that's why we look forward to that glorious appearing someday. We are forgiven, but we're not just forgiven. See, as Christians, we are people his very own. And I don't know about you, but I like that line. In fact, I underlined it in my Bible, that he came to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. See, that, now that changes everything. All right, we're his people. And though we don't often live like it, and maybe we just don't believe it, but as part of his people, as part of the church, then we are truly a part of the most powerful life-changing thing that truly exists on this earth today. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. See, sin's forgiven, sin's washed away, power to live above sin. We belong to Jesus, and that is a most good thing. Why? Because he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Why? Because he knows what we need even before we ask him for it. And he knows when we've screwed up and asked for the wrong thing, right? He's the proprietor of all the cattle that exist on 1,000 hills, which means he knows he has the ability to take care of the things that we need. He knows each of us, and he won't put more on us than we can bear. So being a part of Jesus and a part of the church, that's a good thing. I mean, that really does change everything. And we're so special. We're so special to God that God put it together a very special day just for us. And it comes around once a week. We are told the Sabbath was made for man. It wasn't the other way around. And that's significant, right? The Sabbath was made for us. This is not God's penalty to you just so that you don't go to hell. This is supposed to be something that's good, something enriching, something that's going to bring multiple blessings to your life. Now, I know that some think of worship simply as that way to appease God, but it's so much more than that. We not only needed a day of rest, but we needed a holy day, a different day, where we would spend our time of that one day, out of all the week, we'd spend that day focusing on God and what it truly means to be a part of His people. If all that's true, then it means a whole lot more than simply doing things like going to a service every now and then, voicing a few words in prayer, singing a few songs. You know, it's more than that. It's even more than, if we understand what it means to be His people, it's even more than not doing some things like lying, stealing, killing, and committing adultery. No, what Jesus said and what He showed us was that worship is about what is on the inside of us. And what is on the inside of us, that relationship with Jesus, then that changes what we want to do and what we don't do as well. And that's clear, isn't it? There's a lot of people that just think that worship isn't all that important. There's no doubt that, in fact, you know, there's no doubt that there's just a lot of people right here, they don't think it's important. I mean, that's why they don't come to church very often, right? That's the only reason that it possibly could be. Worship, however, keeps us on the right track. It keeps us aimed at the right things. Matt Emmons, he was a part of the 2004 Olympic Games in Athens, Greece. And he had already won one medal at that Olympics. He was a sharpshooter. And he was also participating in the 50-meter three-position sharpshooting event. Okay? And so he's leading by a large margin. He's down to his last shot. All he has to do, mind you, all he has to do is hit the target. And he's going to win the gold medal. And so he stands up there, he takes aim at the target, and again, he's leading by a big margin, so you got to figure he's a pretty good shot, right? And he hits the bullseye, and it's 8.1 points out of their scoring system. It wasn't a bullseye, but it didn't have to be a bullseye, and that should have been more than enough for him to win the gold medal, but he scored a zero. He was standing and was supposed to be shooting at target number two, and somehow he got mixed up and he shot at target number three. He let his focus get off. He shot at the right, he was aiming at the wrong thing. You know, if there's ever a story that ought to teach us to fix our eyes on Jesus so that we're aiming at the right thing, I think that's a story for us, right? Jesus keeps us on target. I mean, throughout the week we get busy, we get focused on a lot of different things, but it's worship that helps us look to God, to see the things that matter most to God. And I got to tell you, if it's this gathering that also helps us, because we begin to rally around each other, we rally around Calvary, and we begin to understand those things that matter. Because there's a lot of people out there that's going to tell you what's important, and they don't think it has anything to do with God. And if we're not careful, all of a sudden we get caught up in what they're saying. And so we fix our eyes on Jesus so we don't shoot at the wrong target. See, worship is a time that we open ourselves up to God and we enter into a safe place. There we figure out what is good and right. Man, it's in worship that we catch our breath and we find the strength that we need to then go out and make a difference. It's really a time where God comes and puts His loving arms around us and makes sweet music. You may have heard the story before. It happened, I guess, back in the 1920s, as best that I can determine. But the great pianist Paderewski, the Polish pianist and composer, and as the story goes, and I tried to do a little more research because it sounds awful good to be true, but the story goes that he was in America and holding a concert, and there was this lady who had a very young son that was having piano lessons, but he was a little boy, and he wasn't all that convinced that he wanted to play the piano, right? And so she was going to try to inspire her young son, so she got front row tickets to the concert. And before the concert's going on or has begun, you know, the little boy's a boy, and he's fidgeting around, and he's got a lot of other things on his mind, and his mother's talking to some other people, and the next thing they hear is they hear a couple of notes hitting on the piano, and when they think, okay, obviously it's beginning, the mother turns around, and all the color rushes out of her face because her son's up at the piano playing chopsticks. I mean, that's about all he knows at this point, right? He's playing chopsticks. And then, if things weren't bad enough, they get worse. Here comes Paderewski out onto the stage while the little boy's playing chopsticks. And now, I mean, you know, you talk about being able to hear a pin drop. I mean, everybody's like mortified that they don't know what's going to happen, right? But he simply walks over to the piano. He sits down to the boy and whispers in his ear. The little boy starts playing chopsticks again. He puts his arm all the way around him and begins to compose and to play with the little boy as he plays chopstick into this impromptu but very powerful piece. Now, I like that story because I believe that's what worship is. Man, we don't bring nothing to the table, right? We're playing chopsticks here this morning. But God comes and he sits down beside us. He puts his arm around us and he begins to make music in our lives like it can never be made in our lives if he's not there. That's why worship isn't just nice. It's necessary. It's necessary for us to find the strength and the richness of God's blessings for us. And that's why a lot of people miss out on everything God has for them because they don't show up enough. But worship is clearly that affirmation, not only of who God is, but it's an affirmation of who we are, and we are a people, his very own. We belong to him. He redeemed us, and he purified us. Look, hanging around God makes us different. It makes us look differently, live differently. We have different priorities. We have different morals and different ethics. I mean, the gospel becomes our standard because Jesus is the Lord of our lives. And we are his people. And his example to us is that life is not supposed to be about self-serving. It's about self-sacrifice. He said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So worship is what prepares us. It's not the service, by the way. Worship prepares us to serve. And we serve God by serving others. I mean, we just can't look the other way. We can't pretend we didn't see. No, we have a redeemed vision, right? And we've got to help. It's not ours to judge, condemn, but ours is to help. And so we get involved. I mean, God's love wouldn't have it any other way. Greater love, said Jesus, has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. I mean, see, that is what is important. That changes things. I mean, the world's love is self-gratifying. It's about those things that want to make us feel good on the inside. But God's love is a serving love. It even overcomes evil with good. And there's just no way that we can be filled with God's love like we're supposed to be filled with God's love without worship. Because you can't manufacture God's love, even if you wanted to. God has to give it to you. And it's so powerful, it gives us the ability to do things we can't do by ourselves. Again, just recently I was reading about the Ten Boom family. And I'm always in awe of the way they lived out their faith. I mean, they weren't Jews, you know. They weren't Jews, but they knew that it was wrong for what the Nazis were doing. So they had to do something, and they began to hide people and try to get them, you know, to safety. And they were turned in, and they were all arrested. Casper, the father. And by the way, he died shortly after being in the prison camp. And then there was William, the brother, and he too was in the Dutch underground, and he was captured, and he too died in prison camp. And of course, we know about Betsy and Corey and how that they were in one of the worst death camps around, and Betsy lost her life there as well. So three out of the four lost their life to the terrible atrocities that were committed during World War II. And as Corey would then tell the story about how that she had shared her testimony in Munich at a church service one day, and she said, after the service was over, you know what y'all do, right? You walk up and you smile and you say, oh, man, that was just great, you know. And she said she could see him coming from the back. And she recognized him instantly as one of the guards at Ravensbrück where her and Betsy were and where her sister had died. And, you know, she said all of those feelings and all of that anger and all of that hurt, she said just almost overflowed within her. I mean, she said all the feelings of the mocking and all the things that the guards had done and said to them and the fact that her sister had died there. And the man walks up to her and he simply says, like everybody says, hey, thank you so much for what you shared. And he said, you know, he had accepted Christ, and he said, I hope that someday you can find a way to forgive me for what I did. And he stuck out his hand. Now, you know what the Christian thing to do is, right? You know, she should have reached out and shook his hand, but she said she was like she was paralyzed. She said, I knew what I was supposed to do. She said, but my arm wouldn't move. And she said, I prayed, Lord, you forgave him as much as you forgave me. And, you know, she's running through these things and her arm's not moving. And he just stands there with tears running down his face and saying, I'm so, so, so very sorry. And she said, all of a sudden, she didn't even realize what was moving her arm, but something did. And they grasped hands and she shook his hand and she said, I can't really explain to you exactly what took place inside of me, except the love of God began to overflow within me. See, the love of God helped her do something that was impossible for her to do without his love. That's why we need it so desperately. Look, the church is not in the forcing people to follow rules business. It is about being a part of God's people that are his very own. It's about letting the love of God shine through us, inviting others that are hungry to come and feast on the bread of life. It's about inviting those that are thirsty to come and quench that thirst with the living water. And the truth is that you may be here today and you may know that that's what you need to do. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. I mean, that's part of when you come and you feel conviction, that's God speaking to you saying, something's not right in your life. You need me in your life. And today, if those are the feelings that you have, then what I'm telling you need it. Don't wait for it. Do it today. Open your life to Jesus and experience his love, and then you won't come to worship because you think you got to, but you'll come because you want to. And the truth is, if life has knocked you down, maybe it's chipped away at you, and maybe you're just messed up right now. Has you really? And you know what? That'll happen even to the strongest of us. But Jesus can bring you back. See, Jesus in you can do what you can't do by yourself. From week to week, you just never know, do you? I mean, in the course of 7 days, things can change so suddenly. I mean, it might be great, it might be exhilarating, but it might be unthinkable tragedy. But God is faithful. Jesus is Savior, and he's redeemed us from all wickedness. He has purified us so that we would be a people that are his very own. All we have to do is embrace him. If we'll choose to follow his purpose and plan for our lives, that changes everything. Let's pray. Lord, we do worship you this morning and we adore you. And the truth is, there is absolutely none like you. As a part of your people this morning, we pray that we've experienced your love and your presence through your Spirit. And Lord, we pray right now that as we enter into a time of commitment to you, that each of us will open our hearts and our lives more than we ever have before, allowing your love to simply overflow. Thank you for this time that comes around every week that we might be in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
We invite you to turn to hymn number 373. It's a prayer of commitment. It's saying, I can hear the Savior calling and I will follow him. Thank you, Pastor, for that challenge in God's word. How wonderful it is to be a part of a family of God that share his grace with others as well. I can hear the Savior calling. If there's some need in your life that you need to come to this altar to pray, you do so while we sing together. God leads in your life, you obey.
Amen. Well, if you were paying attention during the projection of the announcements, you know that you don't have to cook today. All you got to do is head to the fellowship hall. The mission team has prepared a meal with the fixings, and you're certainly invited to stay and enjoy some good food and good fellowship. Dr. Blank, you also have an announcement.
One other announcement was made during the announcement time. It was neglected. That is to remind all the folks of our Veterans Day program at the East Clarendon High School gym on Wednesday the 11th at 9 o'clock a.m. We want to share that with you also. And again, we welcome you back to the fellowship hall for our time of fellowship there. And let us join together in the closing benediction. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Sing with the joy of salvation in your heart together today. I suggest before we leave that we just have the prayer of blessing right now on the meal. Then you can go back and enjoy that time of fellowship. Will you join with me as we ask God's blessing? Father, thank you again for the ministry of the missions team. And now as we prepare to enjoy this time of fellowship around the tables, as well as the food has been prepared, bless the food to our bodies, strengthen us through it for your glory, and help us to use our strength for your service. In Jesus' name we ask it. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you, church. You are dismissed.